Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Thank you so much. Amen. Okie dokie. All right. Again, we want to say happy Mother's Day to everyone. And if you are a mother, would you please stand and just come and line up down this way? All mothers. Yes, give them a hand clap as they come. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Woo! My Jesus. Oh, Lord. Ain't nobody. Woo! Lord, have mercy. All mothers, amen. Okay, we just have a gift from you, from the staff, from the church today, and just want to say happy Mother's Day to every one of you. And at this time, we have like a reader light, but it's also it could be like a emergency light. Okay, so we're going to give these out, and if you get one, since we got a lot of crowd, you can just go back to your seats once you receive yours, and then we'll just at the end we'll thank God for you. Amen. Okay. Amen. Give them a hand as they go to their seat. Okay, it's a little tab at the end of those, and it says, please remove these, remove the tab, and your light should come on, but you have to move that little tab first, okay? All right. Okay. Let's give them, the mothers, a hand. Thank you so much. Amen. For all that you do, thank you. Amen. So, we got a few more over here. Okay. All right. Thank you guys so much. All right. Did everyone receive one? We didn't leave anyone out. Okay. Thank you, you guys, for taking care of that for us. Okay. We have a treat for you today. We have three ladies that are going to be speaking today. And the first one is going to be Miss Brenda Evans. She's going to be speaking. And then after Miss Brenda Evans, we have K.C. Jones. And then after her, we have Aaron Wilson is going to be coming. So if Miss Brenda, you can come on now, please. All right. Give her a hand as she comes.
Can everybody hear me good? Okay. Right now? Is that better? Okay. All right. Well, I've already had my introduction. I'll just start in saying good morning to Father's Vineyard, to everybody here. Glad we have so many mothers here today, and wish everyone a happy Mother's Day. But I do know that there is some people out here that don't know who I am, and my name is Brenda Evans, and my husband is Andy. I'm wife to Andy, and mother to three daughters, Donna, Susan, and Beth. And Beth is with me here today on the front row. And together, all of our children have given us a gift of 11 grandchildren and two great-grands. Yeah, that's awesome. And they call me Nana or great-grand, and I love either name. My ears are just waiting to hear that. So I've always loved being a mother and a Nana. And there's no greater love in this world. It gives me a glimpse, into the love that our Father has for us as His children. And if any of you young ladies be around me too much, you know I mother them all. So, I'll just get them anywhere I can. But today, I'd like to share a little bit about my mother. Her name was Hetty. She was born in 1921 to Nancy and Henry Lowry. She was one of eight children. She had a twin sister. Her name was Nettie, and six other siblings. There was four girls and four boys in her family. In 1929, the Great Depression hit, and it ran to around 1940. Remember, my mother was born in 1921. Well, she was 8 years old then when the Depression hit. My mother lived through some hard times during those Depression years, and she shared many stories about her life during that time of growing up in those hard years. In fact, if she was here today, she could give some of us modern-day preppers some great advice as we prep for the next Great Depression that we are hoping and praying don't come. But my mother would say, you still need to be prepared. My mother married my father, Will Fowler, when she was 23 years old, and they went on to have eight children, just like her parents. She had four girls and four boys. Although the first child died at 1 month old from pneumonia, they raised seven. My father worked in the logging industry, and my mother stayed home to take care of the family. In December of 1963, my father tragically died in a work accident. At that time, I was 8 years old. My oldest brother was 16, and my youngest brother was 4 years old. My siblings was about 2 years apart, so my mom had a wide range of ages of children to care for. I just can't even imagine it, having seven in that age range. You coming across all the problems that you could ever think of at one time. The next year, after my father died, we moved from Burke County to Rutherford County so my mom could be near her mother, whose health was failing. You know, sometimes you might think, that she would think that she'd move down next to her mother in order to have help with her children. And, if something was like that with me, I would want my children to come home so I could help them. But my mother's grandmother was already up in age and having some health issues. So my mom didn't go to get help. She went to give help. So growing up, I always thought that my mother could do anything. And it was probably because she had to do everything. But, you know, I don't ever remember her complaining. And I really don't think any of us children realize the challenges that my mother faced day to day during those years, the hardships that she had after my father died. I know she had to struggle. But she would tell you that she couldn't do it without the help of the Lord. She stayed on her knees before God. My mother never learned to drive. She used to tell us that my dad had started teaching her, and I think I remember that he had started teaching her to drive before he died, and she'd say that she thought she could do it, but she never did go try for a license. Instead, she depended on my oldest brother since he had his license. But as God had planned it, my uncle's church was within walking distance, so we walked to church. If it was raining or snowing or bad weather or anything, a member from church would come pick us up. So we were able to attend church even after my brother married and moved away, which wasn't too long after we moved down there. Church was very high on my mother's priority list. My mother was a very down-to-earth type person. She believed in helping people whenever she could because of her kind heart. She not only made our clothes and cut our hair, but she extended her kindness to others in the community. She took care of her family every way she knew how. She gardened, canned her food, raised chickens and pigs, and slaughtered them as well. That was rough growing up when you see a pig laid out on the table getting cut up. But she did what she had to do to take care of the family. So she did teach us a work ethic, but most importantly, she taught us about Jesus. And I don't ever remember my mother complaining, even though I know how hard, I know now how hard life was for her. You know, you never realize it until you're grown and you're a parent yourself, and then you look back and think, oh, why did I do that to my mother? She had a hard enough time as it was. But my mother loved our family. She loved us well. Pastor Terry has been teaching on the fruits of the Spirit lately. And how the only way you can bear this fruit is to stay connected to the vine, which is Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what my mother did. She stayed connected to the Lord. The times of hearing her pray or see her reading her Bible is so special to me. To me, my mother embodied all nine of the fruits of the Spirit. She was full of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And this was just not me. Everybody in our neighborhood or family, they thought the same thing about my mother. Matthew 7:16 says, as Jesus told his disciples, by their fruit you shall know them. And you could certainly see my mother's fruit, because she was connected to the vine. My mother was a very kind, caring, compassionate woman, and she was my hero. Sadly, she went home to heaven in 2008, and I miss her every day. You know, when I had my home phone, I would actually go to the phone sometimes thinking to call Mama. Because she was the first person that I wanted to share with. Well, from everything that I've said about my mother, you may think that she was the perfect mother. But as much as I loved my mother, she wasn't perfect. She had her flaws and her failures, just like we all do in this life. And her children as well, they had their failures. But through good times and bad, my mother loved her family. You know, as I was writing down my thoughts to share today, I kept noticing the number 8 all through my story. Like, my mother was one of 8 children. The Great Depression hit when she was 8. My dad died when I was 8. My mother died in 2008. And then on a sidebar, my daughter's best dad died when she was 8, a week before she turned 8. I'm thinking, what is it about 8? Let me just check into this. And so I started looking at the biblical references that highlight the symbolism of the number 8, which included the story of Noah and the ark, the great flood in Genesis, because there was 8 people on the ark. And then the practice of circumcision, also in Genesis, where the male child would be circumcised on the 8th day after birth. And then in Matthew and Luke, the resurrection of Jesus Christ on the 8th day after Palm Sunday. So the number 8 holds a profound spiritual significance in the Bible, representing new beginnings, resurrection, eternal life, victory, and perfect sacrifice. It serves as a reminder of God's power to cleanse, redeem, offer believers a fresh start. So saying all this, I would tell all the mothers here that feel like they haven't done their best at being a mother. And I know there's some here today because I know that mom guilt is a real thing. I've experienced it myself. So I just want to remind you all that God has the power to give you a fresh start. So if that's you today, repent, believe that God forgives you, and keep being the best mother you can with His help. Now I'd like to leave you with a couple of quotes. The first one, a mother's love is peace. It need not be acquired. It need not be deserved. The second one, a mother is your first friend. A mother is your best friend. And your mother is your forever friend. So please don't forget that as you celebrate the mother in your life today. Thank you for your attention.
Good morning, Father's Vineyard family. And thank you for sharing, Brenda. That was so encouraging. It's wonderful to be with all of you today on Mother's Day. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Casey Jones. I'm married to Justin, and together we have 2 children, Josiah, who is 6, and Zuri, who just turned 2 on Monday. As I've been praying and thinking about what to speak on for Mother's Day, there are so many things that can be said. But what kept coming to my mind was memories of being a new mom. It's one of those things where you think you know what you're getting into, but you don't really know until reality sets in. As a new mom, I can remember sometimes thinking to myself, I could write a book and call it The Things They Don't Tell You About Being a about Motherhood. I could write one about being a wife, too, but we'll save that topic for another time. While thinking about those memories and the title of that book I was going to write, I began to realize that though many things may not be verbalized about being a mom, they are shown through the examples of other mothers around us. I can definitely remember things my mom has done for me and things that I have seen friends and family do for their own children that have helped me along the way in mothering my own. As a mom, we get to experience and be so many different things. We're always teachers. Sometimes we're nurses, counselors, chefs, referees, chauffeurs, and the list can go on and on of all the different things we get to do for our children. But most of the time, those titles or words may seem somewhat glorified because I don't always want to cook, or it's hard to come up with something that everyone will enjoy eating. Or sometimes my kid is just not getting what I'm trying to teach, or I've wiped a snotty nose for the 1,000th time and I'm just over it. But we all know there's those special moments that you get to hear, Mom, dinner was great, can I have more? Or they're finally getting what you've been trying to teach them, or all that care and love and prayer for your sick child has paid off and they're finally well once again. Those moments are so precious from our children and from the Lord. Those are the moments I hold on to when things are tough. I cherish them and am thankful for them. Now, I can't talk about Mother's Day without talking about my own mom, Miss Kim Wilkerson, soon to be Mrs. Kim Logan. Yes, we're very excited. We recently had what I'll call a mom-to-mom moment. She was mothering me while I was mothering Josiah. Now, I asked Josiah if I could share this story. So one night, Josiah asked if he could camp out in the living room in his tent. So I set up the tent, got him put to bed, told him I loved him, and I always say, now go to sleep. Well, Josiah learned a couple of valuable lessons this particular night. Number one, he learned that when mama says go to sleep, you should go to sleep. And the second lesson he learned was that if you run and dive into your tent head first, you might just hit some furniture and give yourself a black eye. Well, he did end up with like a little scratch in his eyebrow and some blood was pouring out, but his eye was okay. And thankfully, my husband has first aid kits stashed around the house, so I was able to take care of him quickly. But in the midst of all that, I was thinking, what am I going to do? He might need stitches. And Justin was still at work, and I didn't want to call him and worry him if it wasn't anything, you know, super serious. So the person that I decided to call was, of course, my mother. And from the very beginning of our phone conversation to the end, her voice was calm, cool, and collected. She was just what I needed to be able to think straight so I could care for Josiah. And she was just what Josiah needed to be able to stay calm and not freak out while I was caring for him. And as far back as I can remember, that's always how she's been. When me or my sister had a problem or a question, and I'm sure we asked some crazy questions, she's always been calm in solving our problem and answering us. And for that, I say thank you. And I pray I can be that way for my kids as they grow. My mom's calm voice reminds me of one more voice and example I must mention. The most important example of all. His voice is not harsh or pushy, but it's still and it's small. The voice of Holy Spirit, leading us into all truth. He speaks to our hearts. He can speak to us through others around us. He can even speak through our own children if we're listening. And I'm learning to listen and lean into his voice more and more. And there are moments when no one is around, or I'm not sure who to call, but he's there with the answer or with whatever is needed in that moment. And so this Mother's Day, I'm thankful for all those around me who have been wonderful examples. And I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit, and I'm reminded to continue to listen and lean into his voice. And I must say, we are so blessed here at Father's Vineyard. We have a house full of wise, wonderful mothers who are more than willing to give us advice and walk with us through this journey of motherhood. And I could list so many of you that I've been able to call, reach out to, text, ask for prayer. And I would miss names if I listed all of you out. But I just want to say thank you so much and happy Mother's Day.
Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there. I can't think of a better way to spend it than with all of you today. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Erin Wilson. I am the mother of Wren and Austin Wilson. Wren is 6, Austin is 4, and they are something else. A lot of Pastor Terry's jokes come from Wren, just in case you need one every now and then. Peep in with him. He's got you. I also have a child that did not make it this side, and so forever grateful for that experience before Wren, because it led me to the realization that I really did want children. I always said I didn't want children for a long time, and so that kind of settled in me the loss of that child that I was really aching for that in my life. But I'm not going to talk about that today. I was really praying and thinking about what God would have me to say to you today. And we were in the car this week, and I looked at Tommy and I said, I just really don't know what I'm going to say. I feel like I have an idea what God's put on my heart. And he said, well, just talk about what kind of mom you are, you know. And I said, do you think they really want to know what kind of mom I am? And he said, well, they're not asking about what kind of wife you are, so I can't really speak to that. I don't really know where that was going, so I just shut it down there. I'm not a gentle parent, and I wish I could be, and I really pray on that hard, and God gives me that every once in a while, and it's a beautiful thing, but that's not my tendency. And my kids would probably tell you that. But last Sunday, I was teaching Sunday school to our 4th and 5th graders, and we were talking about Moses and how God prepares us for things in our lives. And that really sat heavy on me that day. And then Pastor Terry asked me to speak today, and I just really felt like that story kept digging in for me. So all week, I had been reading the story, studying, looking up words, looking at Moses' mother and what we know about her, which is really not a lot when you go in and start digging about her story. And I finally just told Tommy yesterday, I was like, I'm just going to let it go. The Lord's going to give it to me. Like, I have a gist about what he's asking me to do or to say. And at 4 o'clock this morning, I had a really restless sleep last night and a lot of really strange dreams, which is not totally typical for me. But at 4 o'clock this morning, I woke up and the Lord was telling me, I'm preparing you. I'm preparing you. And so I looked up the word prepare. And in the Hebrew, the word prepare is to set up, to appoint, to render sure, to confirm, direct, frame, make provision, and provide. The word mother in Hebrew, if you look back at the pictograph version of Hebrew, which would be the very first pictures, the word mother is two letters, or three, depending on which version you look. But it's the word M, E-M-E-Y-M. The Hebrew word for mother is Ema or Em, at the very basic. But the pictograph version is an ox and water. And it means strong water. And the reason for this, I'm digging more because I'm like, that's kind of weird, right? Why would mother look like an ox? Like, that's really not what we want to be compared to. However, you know, they would take the skins of animals and they would boil the skins down. And then they would skim the top of the water off and there would be a film there. And that film would be used to make glue. It was a very sticky substance that laid on top of the water when they would boil the skins. And they would scrape that that film off and use it as a binder or a bonding agent during that time. So the word mother, ox and water, strong water, the one who binds the family together. Jochebed was Moses' mother. She was a Hebrew slave living in Egypt. She had two children prior to Moses, Miriam and Aaron. And we don't know a whole lot about her other than that. We know that she came out of the tribe of Levi. When she had Moses, Pharaoh had already decreed, we're going to kill Hebrew babies, male babies. And here she is pregnant. She has two older children that don't fall into that category. But she's pregnant with a child and doesn't know, is this going to be a boy or a girl? So there's anxiety already there around it. When Moses is born, they realize, we're in real trouble because I have to, you know, are they going to find this baby? And are they going to kill him and drown him in the river? I imagine she was very scared, and I imagine she was very sad, because she probably felt like there was nothing else she could do at that point. She noticed that Moses was very beautiful or good, and depends on which version you read, that he was set apart for the Lord. And so they hid him for 3 months. And when I read the word beautiful, it almost made me think, maybe she was able to hide him because he was beautiful. Maybe he looked like a girl or looked more feminine in a way that people couldn't tell whether he was male or female. And I don't know, because it doesn't say that anywhere. But it was just a thought that entered my mind. So they were able to hide him for 3 months. And when she realized she couldn't hide it anymore, or things were getting close and she had to make a decision, she started preparing. Which I'm sure she was already preparing ahead of time. But she was thinking, what can I do? How can I save this baby that I know has been set apart? I imagine she probably took note of what was happening around her. She didn't choose to put him in the river at that spot for no reason. She made a basket out of papyrus reeds, and she covered that basket in tar and pitch so that it was sealed. So she wove a basket to hold him. She could have let it go at that, but she didn't. She sealed it so the water wouldn't get in. She put him in the river, in the Nile River, which was known to have crocodiles, hippos. And it does. I've seen them in Africa. So it does actually have those very dangerous animals and barracudas too, right? Yes. And so a very dangerous water area that she put him in, into the reeds on the side. And she set him out. And I feel like she probably knew as a mother, some other mother will find this baby. Or he will end up in a spot where someone will help him. So she set him out, and his sister hides back and watches what happens. And she sees Pharaoh's daughter come down and take the baby out of the water. And immediately the sister, you know, is saying, I know how I can intervene here, or how God's asking me to do that. So she says, I can find you a nurse for this baby. And she says, go find it. And Miriam goes and finds her mother. So God brought her full circle. She let her baby go. She put him in the water, not knowing what was going to happen to him. And God allowed for his family to still be there as he was found by another mother, and allow that mother to come back into his life. And in that, she was able to take him. She was paid to take her own child to raise and nurse. So she's a slave. She's, you know, working for other people but not making money. They're probably having difficulty surviving in general. But God provided for her and her family financially while she mothered her own child. Praise God. In addition, so for Moses, what does this mean? His mother provided for him spiritually. She gave him the spiritual raising and growth that he needed to do what God had set him out to do, because he wasn't going to get that on the Egyptian side. The Egyptian mother provided his learning, his education. He was able to know how the Egyptians work, what they do, how their minds think, because he was raised in that culture. The leadership skills coming from that Egyptian side. So not only was Moses provided for by his biological mother, but also by this Egyptian mother that was took pity on him. And I think how many times in motherhood, or even because we are all mothered by someone, or lots of someones. In my case, I have lots and lots of mothers. With different roles in my life. But how often do we have to think about putting something into the basket and letting it go? God's been telling me these are uncertain times, especially as a mother and for our children. What choices do you make for your child? Where do they go to school? Are you okay with what's happening at this school, in this certain area, and we have to make those decisions and pray that God will provide for them when we do make those decisions. So there comes, and I read this in a like a blog I was reading this week, and when I had been praying on what to talk about, and this came up in one of my daily blogs, which I thought was interesting. But it says, there comes a time, or many times actually, in the lives of our children where we have to put the basket in the water. We have to let go and trust the plan of the Father. The world is a scary place, a place where we fear for our children. We fear that they may drown, but we patch the basket. We must remember that we have to let go so that God can draw them from the water for his great purpose, which is what Moses means. The name Moses means I drew him from the water. He has called us to be their parents, but they were his first, and he has provision over their life. Whatever you're getting ready to put your basket into, whatever river you are setting your children and your basket into, remember that you have put them in the water for God to draw them out and to place them into his perfect plan. Though you might not be physically present with the child as much in certain phases of your life, you can always petition the heart of the Father on their behalf instead. Thank you for your time.
Amen. Let's give them a hand. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Good job. Thank the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We just want to say thank you. Great job. Great job sharing your heart about motherhood. You know, so I'm not a mother, and I ain't going to mess with that. Amen. But I do have a mother, a great mother. Appreciate her. She's deceased. But thank God for her. And thank God for all the mothers today. If there's anyone that need prayer before we dismiss, you know, if you raise your hand, we'd be glad to pray with you. If someone need prayer, amen. We don't want to overlook anybody. Okay, come on up, brother. We'll pray with you. And while he's coming, we're going to go ahead and dismiss, give you a chance to get to the restaurants. Amen. I know I got eating on my mind, but Father, we just, yes, sir. Okay, ladies are invited to the men's memorial breakfast this Saturday, so ladies, if you'd like to come, you are invited to come, okay? Father, we thank you for this service. We thank you for the ladies that shared today. And Lord, we thank you right now, Father, for what you're doing in the lives of these mothers, Lord, and we thank you for them. God bless them on this day, Lord, and God, we just appreciate them. And we pray, God, as we depart from this place, but never your presence, watch over us and protect us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.